So I was watching the X Zone TV channel last night when I was abducted by aliens, and they kept repeating to me over and over again, SimulTV.com, SimulTV.com.
What's SimulTV.com?
That's what I asked them. They had it written on the side of their UFO.
How do you spell that?
UFO.
No, I mean SimulTV.com.
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 Right. SimulTV.com.
Interesting that you were abducted by aliens in a SimulTV.com UFO last night.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Now that you mention it, I remember now last night I was awakened from a deep sleep. My great-grandmother was standing there. She said she'd come from the hereafter to tell me about SimulTV.com. She even spelled it out for me.
SimulTV.com, sonny boy.
SimulTV.com.
SimulTV.com, sonny boy.
Wow.
Yeah.
Guys, you'll never guess what my psychic guru just told me.
SimulTV.com.
Exactly. Are you guys psychic too?
Of course.
We all know about SimulTV.com.
SimulTV.com.
Welcome to Empowered Woman with Gwilda Wiecka, a radio show addressing the many challenging issues impacting women today and supporting the integration of balanced feminine power in the modern world. For more information on Empowered Woman with Gwilda Wiecka, visit our website www.ewwgw.com. Now here is your host, Ms. Gwilda Wiecka.
Hello, beautiful ladies, and welcome to Empowered Woman with Gwilda Wiecka Radio Show, where we explore the many facets of being healthy, balanced, well-informed, and empowered women. I'm your host, Gwilda Wiecka. This hour, we'll be looking at inner freedom, personal empowerment, and unity consciousness. There's no denying that women are complex creatures, even to ourselves. There's much that goes on in our inner landscape that even we're unaware of. Yet, within that inner space is the chalice, the bowl of creation, the place where dreams can be planted to manifest. What stands between us as women and our true mysterious and powerful natures? How can we access our inner creative freedom? How can we achieve personal empowerment as women? Can our very natures contribute to inner and outer unity consciousness? With us this hour to explore these mysteries is Maureen Higgins, founder of Wings of Freedom, an alternative counseling and coaching business. She assists clients in transforming the past, including past traumas, attaining their personal and professional goals, and moving into higher consciousness. Higher consciousness is defined as raising your perception and feeling state above the normal human one, so that it's easier to find joy in life. It's also about unity consciousness. Her website, wingsoffreedom1.com. Maureen, thanks for joining us on Empowered Woman.
Thank you so much for having me, Gwilda.
What's your educational background, Maureen?
Well, I started out with a business, 2 years of business, and then I decided that I really was interested in going into more of psychology and trauma, helping with trauma, that is, after I just started working through my own healing process. So I went through my BA with psychology, and then I ended up with a master's degree in human development with a focus on societal, religious, and personal beliefs and how it affects the way we look at ourselves and our world. And then I used that along with counseling.
That's quite the smorgasbord.
Yeah, I know. It's like I had to try to get that out myself.
Yeah. What inspired you to help others let go of past and with alternative methods?
Well, it actually came from my own experiences where I found that talk therapy wasn't enough. And so I started doing exploring. I tried different things from somatic type of things, guided imagery, energy work. And I found that a combination of things is really what's needed to be able to let things go, because it really is something that's a mental, emotional, and physical type of hold on from the past. So if you do talk therapy, it may help with a mental shift, but then your emotional body may still hold on to it, and same with your physical body. Many times you have to work on all three levels and to bring in the spiritual to ultimately heal it all.
What do you see as standing between us and our natural expression as women?
Well, I do think that a lot of it is that we are complex creatures, meaning that we're the ones that can multitask and also are really in touch with our emotions and spirituality. And kind of what I mean by that is that because we can multitask, that we can do many things all at the same time. So it's easier for us than a man to be able to, let's say, hold a baby, turn on the dishwasher, and think about some project that we're working on. It's the way that the brain is actually set up. And so we have all these things going on with ourselves that is very interesting but complex. It also means that because we're multitaskers, that our brain holds on to trauma more easily than a man's brain as well. So that if something happens to us, we have to deal with all the different parts of our brain that are holding on to it. So we really have to work through something, let's say 10 times, whereas a man may have to work through it one time. And so that's kind of the difference between it. Like, we become more emotional and relational because we have to look at things and work through things through in a more complex manner due to the way our brains are set up. I'm not sure if I answered the question completely.
I think you answered it beautifully, because that explains to me, you know, I used to work in search and rescue, and I noticed men, you know, if they're well-balanced at all, are much more stable in a crisis and afterwards than what I've experienced women to be. And that certainly explains that, doesn't it?
It really does. And I think it's a new research, I want to say about 10 years ago, where they started finding that women really should not be in war situations because of that, because the brain just is so complex that it's harder for us to get over things.
Amazing. And does it make us unstable in the middle of a crisis?
Well, you know, I wouldn't say that. A lot of times what happens is that a person goes into autopilot during a crisis. It's more the aftermath. I mean, I do think that we can get over it. I mean, I've seen many women get over very complex things, but we're going to have to work at it for quite a while, because we need to focus in on so many parts of the brain that have been affected by it.
That's pretty amazing. And just day-to-day life would be pretty impactful too, when you consider that.
Oh, most definitely. So we really need to take care of ourselves and make sure that we are balanced. And I really loved your opening, where you talked about kind of us being empowered beings and moving into our strengths and so forth. The way you said it was so beautifully done. And I do think a lot of it is to be balanced with our mental, with our masculine and our feminine side, because I think for both men and women, that's the goal, is that we have both a masculine side and a feminine side. And the more we focus on shifting ourselves to be balanced within, the more we're going to be able to deal with life optimally.
We know, and I'm not complaining here, we're just naturally moving out of a time that was more patriarchal in nature, and therefore all of our structures, businesses, corporations, and everything else has been designed more about around a linear patriarchal structure. And yet we're wired way differently, and so we're trying to compete in a structure that's not really optimally wired for us. How can we work around that?
You know, that's a really good question. Well, what it looks like to me is that we're in a time of great change, where women are, of course, moving more into corporate roles and moving into more of what I call, I'm sure a lot of people do, more of a win-win type of mentality, which I think women are a lot more comfortable with, meaning that we work more as a team, or as really wanting to make sure everybody does well. And I do see that it's not working as well for more of a patriarchal setup, where it's focused on I'm the winner and you're my, you know, underly type of a mentality, that we really need to bring everybody to the highest level. And I think that's where we're starting to move to.
Yeah, you know, I see a lot of signs of that. There's a lot of wonderful people out there pioneering that movement. And a lot of them are men, which is really fun to see.
Really is.
Yeah. Would you define inner freedom for me?
Well, I see inner freedom as being a couple things. One is being able to transform our past memories that are difficult for us, our beliefs that aren't working for us, and anything that makes us unhappy. And a lot of it really is our perceptions. But also the memories can make our perceptions inadequate for us, because we see things through our trauma or through our experiences. And so if we can see that perhaps there's a lot more to life than what we're seeing, in fact, sciences show that we probably know about 2% of the universe. we have about 98% that we don't even know what it is. And so why not tap into that 98%?
That's pretty fascinating. So let's go a little bit more into perceptions. Am I hearing you say that we basically have PTSD and interpret our world through the filter of that?
Well, not everybody has the same amount of trauma. Trauma can be defined as many things. There's some people that have very significant trauma, and in a sense, it's almost like they're operating outside their body. What happens when you go through a really significant trauma, a big part of your spirit can move out of your body. So in a sense, you're operating outside of yourself, or at least your spirit is operating outside of yourself. And so the trauma starts taking over the body, so that you start really feeling what the trauma is rather than what the divine self is trying to tell you. And you can have smaller traumas where a little part of us chips away and kind of moves out, and a little part of this kind of difficult situation creeps in, and then we're seeing things through those difficult situations. So it's anything from kind of a minor difficulty, minor meaning it's not like a significant trauma, to anything very significant.
So are you talking about like a disassociative state?
Yes, exactly. But even when, you know, there's the formal dissociative state, and then there's the informal, meaning that some people may not be thinking that certain states of consciousness are dissociation. But I do think that if anything takes away from us feeling good about ourselves, a little part of our spirit chips away, meaning that it kind of leaves us, and then the difficult experience takes its place. Would you call that dissociation from a psychological, let's say, textbook way of thinking about things? Probably not. But I do think that if you were to look at shamanism, which I know you practice so beautifully, that would be a form of needing a soul retrieval or a part of us brought back in.
Yes, exactly. It's a disconnect from a part of our natural expression on a frequency level.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah. So isn't it really kind of a continuum from a pure, completely blown disassociative state to minor? It's
exactly.
Just all a continuum. Yeah, yeah. Amazing, amazing. Well, we will need to pick up on this on the other side of a break. It's getting very interesting, so you folks stay there. Maureen and I will be back after this commercial break. You're listening to Empowered Woman with Gwilda Wiecka Radio Show, EWWGW.com, coming to you through All Women's Radio Network, AWRN.net.
Rob McConnell here, presenting an overview for Nicholas Paul Jennings, author of a fascinating book, Amen. It presents facts revealed by Egyptologists, facts that enable us to understand why Amen is the beginning of creation of God. It provides recommendations for religious leaders of the major religions to unify their beliefs and teach the word of God, love one another. Amen informs people how mankind conceived God. It was the Egyptians that developed the concepts of a soul, a hereafter, and son of God. And finally, after the worship of many gods, they conceived the belief in one universal God, the maker of all there is. For more information, visit www.futureofgodamen.com. That's www.futureofgodamen.com.
Whether you're a skeptic or a believer, join me, Rob McConnell, as together we'll investigate the world of the paranormal and the science of parapsychology here on the X-Zone Radio TV show on XZBN and the X-Zone TV channel on Simul TV. Since 1990, the X-Zone Radio TV show has been the place where people dare to believe and dare to be heard. Together, we'll investigate UFOs, aliens, ghosts, Bigfoot, psychic phenomenon, lake monsters, conspiracy theories, government cover-ups, the truth embargo, alien abductions, ESP, haunted locations from around the world, and so much more. With over 28 years of broadcasting and more than 4,500 individual guests, the X-Zone is truly a place where fact is fiction and fiction is reality, as evidenced by the credibility, integrity, and professionalism of the guests that we bring to our international audience. If you have seen a UFO, had a close encounter, seen a ghost, Bigfoot, lake monster, or a story that you would like to share or have investigated, contact me, Rob McConnell, by sending me your email to xzone@xzoneradiotv.com, or you can call toll-free 1-800-610-7035, extension 143, and on Skype, X-Zone Radio TV. For more information on the X-Zone Radio TV show with yours truly, Rob McConnell, visit www.xzoneradiotv.com or www.xzonetvchannel.com or simultv.com and xzbn.net. Until next we meet here in the X-Zone from our broadcast center and studios in Hamilton, Ontario, Canada, always remember X-Zone Nation. Keep your eyes to the sky and your heart in the light.
Welcome back. This is Empowered Woman with Gwilda Wiecka Radio Show. We're dedicated to redefining and empowering the feminine. Remember, past episodes are available on our website, ewwgw.com. I'm your host, Gwilda Wiecka, and our special guest this hour is Maureen Higgins. Her website, wingsoffreedom1.com. Maureen, we were just talking about the continuum between, minor disconnect and a full-blown disassociative state. Do you see women being more prone to that sort of thing because of our complexity?
Well, I honestly see more women than I see men, so it's hard to tell if I was to look at the full spectrum. But what I see is that the women that come in, that they are really dedicated to being their full selves, and they just stick with working through these things a lot longer than I've seen men. But on the other hand, like I talked about earlier, men seem to get through things a lot quicker too, and they seem to have different symptoms that come out of trauma than women as well.
What particular challenges do women face in finding their inner freedom?
Well, I do think that a lot of it is some of the ancestral issues that they come in with, because patriarchal society has been around for 5,200 years. But I always remind myself that matriarchy was around for 26,000 years. So we've each had our turn. So it's time for balance. But the ancestry, a lot of women have a lot of memories from their ancestors that they've inherited, patterns from their ancestors that they've inherited, because it's been tough for women back in the day where they really didn't have any choices. And then also, it's society in general. We're making these shifts and changes. So a lot of it, too, is just working with your ancestral issues and patterns and then current day. And then I also do a lot with other lifetimes. I believe that there are many timelines, dimensions, and universes going on simultaneous to our current one.
There's sure a lot of evidence moving that direction, isn't there?
There really is.
So you speak of ancestral issues. Could you go into those a little more, please?
Yes. Well, now there's a lot of research showing, it's been rather recent, that we inherit the memories and patterns of our ancestors probably going back around 13 generations. And what I see, and even before the research, and I'm sure many people have, that things tend to repeat in an ancestry. So, like, for example, if there's a lot of depression, and let's say somebody committed suicide, that strong depression all of a sudden goes forward from the time it happened all the way to all the ancestors until somebody finally resolves it. And so what I end up doing is looking for, let's say, for example, taking that example, if somebody commits suicide, usually they're in such a bad state when they do it, obviously, or they wouldn't do it, that a lot of times they don't fully cross over once they commit suicide, because they see how in anguish their friends and relatives and so forth are. And so then you would want to see about crossing that soul over. And you might ask, well, how do you know whether they've crossed over or not? You know, whether they've actually been able to find the tunnel of light to go on the other side. A lot of times you can just kind of sense it, or you can even try doing a crossing over of your ancestors just in case there's someone there that hasn't crossed. But I find somebody not crossing over, for example, can cause a lot of issues in the family. It's almost like that person anchors in to the ancestry all the issues that they had, because just by the act of not moving on, if that makes sense.
Well, are the ancestral issues related to our DNA or genealogy?
Well, I think it's a combination. And granted, it's in the DNA, but I also see that we have a field, an energy field that we're connected to that has a lot going on. And so if you work on the ancestral energy field that you're connected into, it seems to automatically start shifting the DNA.
Yes, it's a lot more mobile than we'd originally thought, is what I've been hearing lately.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, amazing. So, the old ways where they said, well, the sins of the fathers fall to the seventh generation, visit upon the children. This is what they're talking about, isn't it?
It is, but there's something we can do about it. We're not stuck with it, and we don't want to feel bad about it. You know, in the old day, it's kind of like, well, if your dad did something bad or your mother, then you're bad too. That's not really the way we want to think about it. That's the old way. And I'm sure you agree with that. It's like you'd want to see that, yes, we do get affected by these things, but there's things that we can do to correct it or to heal from it.
Do you think we have a better opportunity to do that now as we're moving into a balanced masculine feminine energy than before?
Oh, most definitely. Well, I think about when I went to grad school, it was in the 90s. I did my BA in the 80s. And I remember thinking, geez, there's no help out there for helping anything that has to do with healing things really on a mental, emotional, physical level, at least nothing that was standing out. There were beginning pioneers that were starting to do things, and people didn't really even know what alternative healing was about. People would think you were a little off your rocker if you even talked about it. And then all of a sudden you move into the 2000s and slowly, 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 it's becoming a part of most people's everyday language, at least knowing about it, if not actively pursuing it.
Well, you know, we as women have actually more DNA present because we have the XX chromosomes instead of the XY. Does that put us in a position to access more of our ancestral damage and correct it?
Boy, that's a really good question. I hadn't really thought about that, but I do see that there's more women actually doing it, so it would make sense.
Are ancestral issues passed on through behavior and belief systems as well?
Most definitely. You know, I see that, you know, this is a really unusual situation, but years ago, there was a woman that came in, and she had four generations of women whose husbands died when their children were toddlers. And I've seen just the smallest things, too, like disownments in families, financial difficulties, things like that, that seems to get passed on. There may be a person or two that bypasses having that happen to them, but then they may be sandwiched in between relatives that do have those issues, so they do have them ultimately, if that makes sense. So things do get passed along, and then, of course, you're going to see things a certain way because of the things that are happening.
So how do we move beyond being negatively impacted by our ancestry?
Well, I do think a lot of it has to do with actively understanding that we're connected to our ancestry, and that even though those ancestors are deceased, they still leave an energy imprint in the energy field. If they haven't crossed over, they're leaving a huge imprint in the field that keeps things stuck. Also, old traumas can be woven into the energy field that can be worked with. And so you can actively start asking that old traumas are, you could say, removed, unwoven, or spliced out of the field, especially if you get a sense of things. Like if you have a lot of grief, for example, within your own self, you may stay with your own grief. And all of a sudden, you may kind of get a sense of that there's something that you notice that perhaps happened in the ancestry. And so then you can start working with what your knowings are within. But it's a little complicated, because really what I think it takes is some effort in understanding kind of how the whole field works to really be able to work with it. So I think it's an important topic for people to start studying and understanding more.
And we're just starting to scratch the surface of that, even though some of the ancient traditions had provision or at least a better understanding. It seems like in our modern day world, we've gotten away from some of the traditions that actually help clean that up.
I totally agree with you.
Yeah, it's like my first Native American teacher taught me that you do not speak the name of the dead. You take a full year to totally mourn them, then you never speak their name again. And that's what you're talking about. That kind of pulls back that energy back into the collective energy field, and with it all the trauma.
It does, you know, but also that you can start asking that the field is cleaned up. In a sense, you're asking for the divine to come in and help remove some of those traumas and bring it to the light. And you're asking all your ancestors to be in agreement to do so, because they still have an energy, in a sense, that lives on, that's in the field. And so by doing that, it's almost like you and all your ancestors are saying, okay, we're going to heal this problem that all of us are connected to, and bring it to the light and let it go and move into something different together. And you can do that on your own and ask that your ancestors do it with you. And it can be amazing how much healing can take place for yourself and then also for those that you're connected to.
You know, can addressing the clearing the ancestral issues impact our ancestors as well as our descendants?
Oh, I think so. For sure they can.
So as women, we are also mothers, and we carry the young in our energy field for 9 months before giving birth and then hold them there. How much responsibility do we have to clean this stuff up in order to protect our children?
Boy, that's a really good question. Well, I think that a lot of times when women have children, anything that's been bothering them gets brought up automatically. It's almost like, for example, when your child turns 1 year old, if something happened to you when you were one, all of a sudden memories come up and you start clearing them out for yourself a lot of times, if you're willing to do that kind of a work. But I think that the more we clean things up, of course, it's going to be easier for our ancestors, for our children, and for our grandchildren. So I think it's important to do it. But let's say that if somebody is unable to, some people have mental health issues that make it a lot harder for them to do the clearing work. So it could be that the person that's born into the family, let's say the child that the mother brings in, they're the stronger one that can do the work. So I do think we have soul contracts that we come in to bring in, so that, you know, some people come in to specifically do the work, whereas others may be less inclined to due to what they've come to accomplish in a lifetime.
Yeah, it's hard to know what we came to accomplish. Isn't that a lifelong search?
Isn't it? I agree.
Yeah. Well, we'll need to pick up on that lifelong search on the other side of a commercial break here. But it's a really interesting topic. You know, what is our purpose? What did we come for? Maureen and I will return to our discussion on the other side of this commercial break, so you stay right there. This is Empowered Woman with Gwilda Wiecka Radio Show, EWGW.com, coming to you through the All Women's Radio Network, AWRN.net.
I was watching the X Zone TV channel last night when I was abducted by aliens, and they kept repeating to me over and over again, SimulTV.com, SimulTV.com.
What's SimulTV.com?
That's what I asked them. They had it written on the side of their UFO.
How do you spell that?
UFO.
No, I mean SimulTV.com.
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 Right. SimulTV.com.
Interesting that you were abducted by aliens in a SimulTV.com UFO last night.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Now that you mention it, I remember now last night. I was awakened from a deep sleep. My great-grandmother was standing there. She said she'd come from the hereafter to tell me about SimulTV.com. She even spelled it out for me.
SimulTV.com, sonny boy.
SimulTV.com.
SimulTV.com, sonny boy.
Wow.
Yeah.
Guys, you'll never guess what my psychic guru just told me.
SimulTV.com.
Exactly. Are you guys psychic too?
Of course.
We all know about SimulTV.com.
SimulTV.com.
Rob McConnell here, presenting an overview for Nicholas Paul Jennings, author of a fascinating book, Amen. It presents facts revealed by Egyptologists, facts that enable us to understand why Amen is the beginning of creation of God. It provides recommendations for religious leaders of the major religions to unify their beliefs and teach the word of God, love one another. Amen informs people how mankind conceived God. It was the Egyptians that developed the concepts of a soul, a hereafter, and son of God. And finally, after the worship of many gods, they conceived the belief in one universal God, the maker of all there is. For more information, visit www.futureofgodamen.com. That's www.futureofgodamen.com.
Welcome back. This is Empowered Woman with Gwilda Wiecka Radio Show, EWWGW.com, bringing the latest tools and information to support women during these rapidly shifting times. I'm your host, Gwilda Wiecka, and our guest this hour is Maureen Higgins. Her website, wingsoffreedom1.com. Maureen, we were just about to get into something, a very interesting subject, and I think particularly for women at this time. We've had our roles defined pretty clearly for us, and now those are the boundaries around those are shattering. How can we re-examine our purpose as individuals and as women?
Well, one thing, as we talked about earlier, women are multitaskers, so they can accomplish a lot. They have very complex ways of thinking about things, very abstract, nonlinear beings. And so I think that the feminine is really the creative part of us. And the multitasking part of our brain, I do believe, allows us to be extremely creative and to really tap into our divine self in a way that can bring new solutions. And I do see that women are really coming up with some interesting ways of looking things out there through business and through alternative medicine, through many different avenues. So I'd have to say that just to take advantage of your complex nature and use it to bring creative solutions out there, and it's already happening.
It is fun to watch, isn't it? Now, do you think that we end up in the circumstance that actually gives us the opportunity to do our life purpose?
I do. You know, even if you look at somebody's astrology chart, I'm not an expert in astrology whatsoever, but I always think it's interesting to look at different tools to see how they fit with what the person's really like. Like if you look at your astrology chart, you may look at your Myers-Briggs, you may look at your numerology, and a lot of times they all kind of say similar things, and it shows that we come in with a certain template. And so we don't want to judge ourselves harshly if we're not doing what we think we should be doing with a purpose, because our purpose is being met through what we're doing already. If we're just doing the best we can and working on ourselves and moving forward, that is our purpose.
I'm glad you said that, because so often people wait to do their purpose until they find the perfect job that and they think that's their purpose. And purpose is just living our life, isn't it?
Oh, for sure. Some people, it is their job, their career, to bring their purpose out to the world. And in some cases, in fact, many cases, the job is the job and the purpose is, like you said, living your everyday life. And sometimes the purpose within somebody's career may come much later in life as well.
Yeah, it's fascinating. I know I can look back in my life, and at the time I thought, what am I doing? And I look back and it's like it was beautifully orchestrated. Who did that?
Oh, I know. Isn't that right?
Yeah. How can we heal the trauma passed down from our ancestral lives without losing the gifts?
Well, I really do believe that by transforming the issues, the patterns, the memories, emotions, and behaviors from our ancestors, that the gifts are going to be more easily accessed. And so a lot of it is putting the intention out there that your energy field connected to your ancestors is healed. I always do, again, the crossing over of any ancestors that haven't crossed over, and also to ask that any of the traumas are healed. And a lot of times just from your own life, you can get a sense of what traumas need to be healed, or just looking at your family in general. For example, if a family has addiction in it, like for example, I may not have addiction myself, but you may have a lot of people in your family that do have that. Well, even though you may not have it, that you can see that addiction, for example, has affected your family. And so by putting the intention there that you're, in a sense, healing the addiction in the family, and there's so many things that you can do. For example, ask that you and your ancestors are disconnected from all the memories or experiences where addiction and the problems have occurred. Ask that anyone who feels guilty and hasn't crossed or has, let's say, not crossed over for whatever the reason may be, that a beautiful tunnel of light is there with the loved ones and spirit guides, however you look at the divine, waiting for them to cross them through the tunnel of light to their next highest level destination. So in a sense, you're asking that your ancestors that are still kind of hanging around, not moving on, are going to the light to transform, to move to wherever they need to go. You're asking that the problems that were there with them or with anybody that's left behind, that they're unwoven from the energy field and transformed, or that all timelines from these memories are closed up, deleted, spliced out, and transformed. It's almost like you can almost like ask that all these things are closed up and healed. And it sounds like, you know, perhaps an imaginary thing, but the way you feel once you're done with it is what's the telling sign as to whether it's working or not.
But as you're speaking there, it sounds to me like when we're doing something like that, we're taking on to ourselves a responsibility for someone else's path, even whether they're physically alive or not. Is it really our place to decide when it's time for them to move on or when it's time for them to clear these things?
Well, you're offering it. The reason why it's helpful is because it's directly affecting you. So in a sense, it's like if you're feeling a lot of grief, it may not even be your grief. It might be something that happened, let's say, 100 years ago that hasn't been wrapped up yet. So,
but is it ours to wrap it up, or is it ours to heal it for ourselves personally?
Well, I do think that what you're doing is you're healing it for yourself by realizing that we're part of a unity consciousness field, that we're all connected, and that we can offer it to others, and that by offering it to others, it helps ourselves. By healing our own problems in our current life, it helps ourselves. So in a sense, we're inviting the whole field of ancestors to heal together.
So it's an invitation, an offering, rather than an imposition.
Oh, for sure. But, you know, the reason why you do it is because it helps you, and it's also helping everybody connected to it. So it's kind of like what the Buddha said, that we can't move off of this planet unless all of us go together. We are a part of a unity consciousness, a field.
Well, you've been talking a lot here about intent. How important is clear intent? It seems like some of our intent is conscious and some of it's out of pattern. How can we be sure that our intent is clear so that we can move this stuff in the world in a good way?
Boy, that's really a good question, because there is a lot of unconscious things that go on with everybody. But I think the unconscious things can be seen by what we're attracting in our life. And so if we can see that we're attracting things that are not desirable, for example, then you can kind of figure that there's some beliefs going on or something going on with ourself that needs to shift. And so that's one way to tell what the unconscious things are, by what we're attracting. That's number one. And then as far as putting our intentions clearly, if we can go with what it is that we want in our life, and to even write it out in a positive way, what we'd like to see happening, I think a lot of it is just happiness and well-being. Because if you're happy and have a sense of well-being, it doesn't matter what's going on. In a lot of ways, you're still feeling peaceful within, because there's always going to be ups and downs in life.
Thank goodness for them. It would be pretty boring if they weren't.
That's right.
So tell me, it seems like you're making a relationship here between our intention and what is being attracted to us. What's the mechanism behind that?
Well, this is what it looks to me, is I do think that when we come into a lifetime, we agree to work on certain things or to be a part of a certain group of situations. So kind of the template I use is that before we're born, we've got all these different lifetimes that we have, past, present, future. We may kind of look at them all and say, geez, you know, I really haven't cleared up, let's say, loss, grief, and let's say harsh self-judgment. So I'm going to go into a life to work that through, and I'm going to go into an ancestry that has to work that through as well. And typically the ancestors that we pick are also in those past lives or even simultaneous lives, if you believe everything's kind of happening all at once. And so you say, okay, I've got, let's say I'm just making this up, 10 past lives that haven't been worked out, that have this theme of grief and loss and harsh self-judgment. I've got, let's say, 15 simultaneous lives. So those are going to be the influences for my current life. And the ancestors who are in a lot of these lives are going to be also a part of my group of souls that's working with me. And so in a sense, you've got an astrology chart of sorts of these different influences that are surrounding you, and you've all come together to work through it.
So what's the difference between ancestral issues and past lives?
Well, I think they go together. So, you know, our ancestry has a lot of the same issues as our past lives, as does our simultaneous lives, because in a sense, we've set that chart up before we were born because we've chosen to work through certain things as a group.
So how can we tell if what we're dealing with is something that we've set up for ourselves versus something that needs to be cleared?
Well, I think it's one and the same. So if I come in to work through loss, grief, and harsh self-judgment, that is a part of my my chart of sorts. I've agreed to do that. It's also a collective issue because most people have that kind of a thing. Most people, especially loss, everybody who's on our planet is going to go through loss. We're all going to have grief at some point in time, and most of us are going to have self-harsh judgment at some point. So those are also collective things. So the humanity is also an influence to us. And so those are the things we've come to shift and transform into something else. So if you have loss, which we all do, we need to start looking at it differently, which isn't easy to do. We have to start looking at it as this life is just a small part of our whole soul's growth and development, and that we're here for a short while experiencing something, and we're going to meet up with these same people that, let's say, died or left our life at some point again, perhaps in some other time and place.
That's a bit of a comfort in some cases and not so much in others, huh?
I agree. It's not easy. I'm not saying it is.
Yeah. Well, it's time, that magic moment. We need to take another break. Maureen and I will be back shortly to continue our exploration, so don't leave us now. You're listening to Empowered Woman with Gwilda Wiecka Radio Show, EWWGW.com. We're coming to you through the All Women's Radio Network, AWRN.net.
Whether you're a skeptic or a believer, join me, Rob McConnell, as together we'll investigate the world of the paranormal and the science of parapsychology here on the X-Zone Radio TV show on XZBN and the X-Zone TV channel on Simul TV. Since 1990, the X-Zone Radio TV show has been the place where people dare to believe and dare to be heard. Together, we'll investigate UFOs, aliens, ghosts, Bigfoot, psychic phenomenon, lake monsters, conspiracy theories, government cover-ups, the truth embargo, alien abductions, ESP, haunted locations from around the world, and so much more. With over 28 years of broadcasting and more than 4,500 individual guests, the X-Zone is truly a place where fact is fiction and fiction is reality, as evidenced by the credibility, integrity, and professionalism of the guests that we bring to our international audience. If you have seen a UFO, had a close encounter, seen a ghost, Bigfoot, lake monster, or a story that you would like to share or have investigated, contact me, Rob McConnell, by sending me your email to xzone@xzoneradiotv.com, or you can call toll-free 1-800-610-7035, extension 143, and on Skype, X-Zone Radio TV. For more information on the X-Zone Radio TV show with yours truly, Rob McConnell, visit www.xzoneradiotv.com or www.xzonetvchannel.com or simultv.com and xzbn.net. Until next we meet here in the X-Zone from our broadcast center and studios in Hamilton, Ontario, Canada, always remember, X-Zone Nation, keep your eyes to the sky and your heart in the light.
You have heard of the X-Zone? Now watch it on Simul TV, plus 500 video games, live TV channels, free video on demand, worldwide, and more. Does this sound like tomorrow's television? Well, it is, but you can have it today, right now. It is Simul TV. SimulTV offers what the others only wish they could provide. 15 exclusive channels like X-Zone, Sci-Fi, and Horror. We are worldwide. No other provider offers that. 500 built-in video games. No need to have an extra expensive system. We have them included. Free video on demand. Live streaming events from around the world. Interactive online network and much more. Tomorrow's TV today. SimulTV. Sound too good to be true? Well, it's not. You can have SimulTV today. Sign up at SimulTV.com. Do it today.
Welcome back. This is Empowered Woman with Gwilda Wiecka Radio Show, EWWGW.com, bringing the latest information to support women as we embrace our true power. I'm your host, Gwilda Wiecka. I always love to hear suggestions from my listeners. Email me, Gwilda, at EWWGW.com, and share what's on your mind. We're speaking with Maureen Higgins, her website, wingsoffreedom1.com. Maureen, you were bringing up some very interesting things. You suggested that before we come in each time that we kind of get our heads together, our collective heads, if you will, and decide on what we want to work through as a team. But then when we come in, this is my point, when we come in, we have all these things that we've set up for ourselves, and oftentimes we feel victimized by them. Why is this always happening to me? How can we empower ourselves to see through that natural victimization thing?
Boy, that is such a good question. I totally agree with you. I always tell people that we're on a planet where the overarching pattern is the victim perpetrator. And as a collective or as a humanity, that's what we're working through right now. So really, it's not easy to work that through since it's so much a part of the collective consciousness too on our planet. So just to realize that that is something that we're working through together and to remind ourselves, a lot of times it just takes a constant reminder of what we're here to do as a group consciousness, and it's not always easy to do. So it takes a lot, it's a burden a lot of times, at least it feels like a burden to the human body when we're carrying a lot of old problems within us. And so the more we can start transforming first, a lot of times it takes just working on our own personal self, daily, diligently. And then after a while, as we get lighter, as we're clearing these things up, we feel less victimized. We can see that we can actually clear these things up for ourselves. And then we can even start seeing how we're a part of this collective consciousness where we're all here helping each other and we're offering the healing to each other. It's not like we're trying to fix somebody, because like you mentioned earlier, that doesn't work and it's not appropriate, but we're offering the light to all those that agreed to come with us at this time to work, and they can offer it to us, and we're in a sense synergizing each other's healing process.
We know that victim perpetrator stance is very, very polarized. It's also quite a trap, because if those are the options, who wants to be the perpetrator, right?
Oh,
everybody
for sure.
Has to stay firmly in victim in order not to be to blame. How can we break out of that?
Boy, that is such a good question. It's going to take a critical mass shift on our planet in order for that to really happen. I do think that it starts with us, with each of us, that we have to start recognizing that we are in a low vibrational planet, you could say. You know, this is a planet that has a lot of polarized things going on with it. And so to recognize that, and kind of what we're doing as a collective during this era of great change, is moving to a higher frequency, more aligned with unity consciousness, which some people call the ascension process. So to realize that we're in the process of moving out of that victim perpetrator, but it starts with ourselves to see that we can change these things for ourselves. I do believe myself that we've all been lesson givers at some point or another. If you're somebody that has a hard time seeing yourself doing it in your current life, some people don't ever intentionally try to hurt other people. And some people perhaps have a mental illness or something going on with themselves where they just can't help but act out. You know, if you've got some severe mental health issue or a sociopath or psychopath, it's almost like it's in your brain to be that way, if that makes sense. But many of us try our best not to, but even if we were, let's say, doing as best we can in our current life, we all have lifetimes where we've been that listen giver, and to realize that there's no judgment about the way our planet is set up. We want to accept it and realize that we can change it, move out of it. It's something that we can update and move on from.
We know it occurs to me that if we're coming out of a patriarchal era and into one of more balance, masculine, feminine balance, the women have a lot of work to do here to bring through that feminine expression. How can we assist this project?
Well, I do think that women have been better with the emotional and spiritual, even through patriarchy. Men have not been able to access their emotions or access their spirituality as well, because of they've been having to be the ones that are the conquerors, the physical, you know, be working more on the physical end of things. So women already have that advantage that they're more in touch with the emotions and the spiritual. I think that really recognizing that we've had these gifts all along, and that now what we want to do is we want to shift it so that we can manifest more in the physical, which we're already starting to do, and to ask that our husbands, our brothers, our sons, you know, all our male friends are also starting to be able to access their emotional and spiritual side more by, you know, just, you know, being kind of offering that energetically, meaning that's what you want for them or that's what you'd like. You'd like to see for them. Of course, they're the ones that decide. And to keep on recognizing our gifts and abilities and doing the best we can to bring them into manifestation. The manifestation is the part we're working on.
That's huge, isn't it?
It really is.
Yeah, because we are manifesting all the time. It's just mostly unconsciously.
True.
What different role does a woman play in manifestation than a man? I mean, we know certainly as far as we're the ones that give life, we're the ones that bring the children into the world. How does that generalize into manifestation in general?
Boy, that's a good question. You know, I do think that men and women have a masculine and feminine side, and I'm sure you do too. And so, but women just typically have more of the feminine, they're born with it, and their goal is to bring more of the masculine in, and men's are born more with the masculine side, and that their goal is to bring more of the feminine in. And so really what I think it is that our goal is to really embrace what we have as gifts already and to really, in a sense, just take that goodness out into the world. It doesn't matter what it is that you're doing, whether it be that you're radiating this goodness or light creativity into the world by just your intention, your open heart, or be it that you're doing some helpful things through your work, like as a psychologist, as an alternative practitioner, as a medical doctor, as a homeopath, or whatever it is. A lot of it is just really wanting the best for everybody, that wanting a win-win for everybody. And I think women, because they've been more emotionally available, they've been more spiritual, because that's the nature that hasn't been shut off through patriarchy, that we have a better chance of really waking that up in ourselves and others, including men.
Well, when I look at male-female relationships historically, there's one thing that was built in, and that's the men as the protector, which has actually given us space to maintain those very gentle traits that are so needed right now. I think it's so important that we don't overlook that.
I agree. I mean, men have a lot of good things that they're bringing to women. You know, there's always going to be the shadow side too. So there's the shadow of the masculine and there's the shadow of the feminine. And so we want to really value both and to be able to give men and women the ability to express themselves in their own unique, authentic way.
You mentioned the ascension process. Would you speak to that a little? What is that?
Well, I believe that we have many timelines, dimensions, and universes that are a part of our universe and perhaps multi-universe. And so I always think of I always use an 11 dimension template. So let's say dimension one is hate, dimension 11 is love, and anything in between. I think Earth is roughly has been at dimension 3 to 4. And so that's a pretty low frequency, but it's just an experience that all of us souls wanted to have together to see what's it like to be in the third to fourth dimension. What's it like to be in all these different dimensions? And so I do believe that we're starting to wrap up some of these lower realm dimensions, 1 through 4, and moving up more to, some people call it 5D. I always think of 5 being more of the transition period into 6, but I don't think it makes any difference how you look at it. So we're in the process of birthing into 5 to 6 so that we can be at a frequency that's more aligned with unity consciousness than, let's say, 1 through 4. That's what it looks like to me. And I, you know, who knows how long that would take to move more into a less polarized state. Hopefully we'll see it in our lifetime, but I don't know if we will or not.
Well, it's your process, isn't it? We're just about out of time. How can you advise women to stay steady and evolve through these times?
Well, recognize your gifts. Recognize that you are a divine being having a human experience, and it's not going to be perfect because it's not meant to be, that you're here to really heal yourself, thus your ancestry, all the lifetimes that you're in, the collective itself, just through the act of healing yourself and offering it to all those that we're connected to bring in that team consciousness, that unity consciousness of recognizing that we come in together to help as a group, you could say, and that don't give up. Just keep doing the work one step at a time. What you are doing does matter.
Well, that's no truer words were ever spoken. What we are doing does matter, even when we can't see through it all, huh?
Oh, for sure. A lot of times we don't see it as it's happening. Sometimes, hopefully we can see it at some point, but it does matter whether we see it or not.
Well, unfortunately, we've come to the end of our time together, Maureen. Thank you so much for coming on the show.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
Our guest this hour has been Maureen Higgins, founder of Wings of Freedom, an alternative counseling and coaching business dedicated to assisting clients in transforming past traumas, attuning their personal and professional goals, and moving into higher consciousness. Her website is wingsoffreedom1.com. Remember to join our email family to stay abreast of all the exciting new things we have coming up at ewwgw.com. While you're there, join the discussion in our blog. This has been Empowered Woman with Gwilda Wiecka Radio Show, coming to you through All Women's Radio Network, www.awrn.net. Until next time, dear sisters, stand in your beauty, stand in your truth, and embrace your power. The world needs you and everything you are.
If you are looking for a safe, zero-calorie, natural option to the harmful artificial sweeteners on the market today, Just Like Sugar is what you're looking for. Just Like Sugar is a wonderful natural alternative for those health-conscious people who choose a calorie-restricted diet with a great, pure, sweet flavor that tastes just like sugar. Just Like Sugar is a great natural option for people suffering from diabetes and may be useful in restricted diet programs where standard sugars are not allowed and does not cause a laxative effect of some other sweeteners. Just Like Sugar comprises a perfect blend of chicory root fiber, natural calcium, natural vitamin C, and Just Like Sugar sweetness comes from the natural flavors from the peel of the orange. Just Like Sugar is a natural alternative to harmful artificial sweeteners and will change the way that you believe all natural sweetener products taste. Just Like Sugar is available at your local Whole Foods markets, Wild Oats markets, Henry's, Sun Harvest, and many other fine natural food stores in the U.S., Canada, and worldwide.
You have heard of the X-Zone? Now watch it on SimulTV, plus 500 video games, live TV channels, free video on demand, worldwide, and more. Does this sound like tomorrow's television? Well, it is, but you can have it today, right now. It is SimulTV. SimulTV offers what the others only wish they could provide. 15 exclusive channels like X-Zone, sci-fi, and horror. We are worldwide. No other provider offers that. 500 built-in video games. No need to have an extra expensive system. We have them included. Free video on demand. Live streaming events from around the world. Interactive online network and much more. Tomorrow's TV today. SimulTV. Sound too good to be true? Well, it's not. You can have SimulTV today. Sign up at SimulTV.com. Do it today.
Did you know that when you're on the road with limited data or Wi-Fi, you can still listen to the X-Zone Radio Show with Rob McConnell, The Science of Magic with Gwilda Wiaka, X-1, Dimension X, Space Patrol, and every minute of the X-Zone Broadcast Network by calling 213-401-0080, courtesy of Audio Now. No smartphone, app, or internet needed. It saves your data plan, and it's free if you have unlimited minutes. Call 213-401-0080 to listen on any phone, anytime, anywhere. Remember, 213-401-0080 for the best of the paranormal, parapsychology, and sci-fi radio programming anywhere, 24/7, 365.